What a week. Intensely experienced by many of us. 1 week, two national funerals. One for the soulful singer Aretha Franklin, the other. Yesterday's, a search for our national political soul, perhaps, with the funeral of John McCain. I have discovered I need to let that all rest in my soul today and approach God in the spiritual discipline that we call Holy Communion. And in the 40-some years that I have been doing this, I have never talked about communion from here. And I'm acutely aware that time is a factor on Sundays like this one, but we have to give adequate time, I think, without rushing toward and through communion. There is nothing that does communion, I think, more disservice as a spiritual exercise than having to rush through it at the end of the service. I sort of remember what it's like to be listening to a sermon all the while thinking, preacher, cut it short. We still have to get through communion. And I don't want to be late for lunch. I understand that. I care. The reason that we still do communion at the end of the service is really because that's the way it's done in Catholic rituals next door. In the Catholic Mass, everything, I mean everything, builds liturgically toward meeting God in the elements, the bread and the wine. And that's why in so many Catholic circles, the faithful go to Mass every day. Because why would you not want to meet up with God every day and take the very essence of God into oneself? Why wouldn't you want to do that? I understand that. Religious rituals are fantastic, and they need to be cleaned out, washed, and made fresh with great regularity. But in a world that is constantly changing, we human beings, we have a strong tendency to want to conserve a few fundamental things and religious ritual, the order of worship, the words used in worship, who leads worship, even the time of worship, we often guard zealously. A funny thing happened on the way through the Protestant Reformation that was set up to reform the Catholic Church. The German Lutheran Martin Luther never intended for us to be apart for more than a few years, during which he thought parties would compromise, significant long overdue reforms done, and then the families would be reunited. And now somewhat, almost 500 years later, we're still waiting. And meanwhile, while waiting, new and powerful ideas about the presence of God have kind of sort of emerged into the human consciousness, and they've taken hold of us. A primary belief of our Christian faith ancestors was that God was totally separate from humankind because of our sinful natures, and God didn't want to be around sin, so there's just a built-in separation. And early Christian thinkers did something that Jesus, I think, would have laughed at, and probably the historical Jesus would have even been angry about it. Jews do not have a tendency to believe that to be human is to be sinful in our essence. Jews have a tendency to embrace the human condition, warts, sexuality, and the hundreds of avid appetites of what it means to be human, and to say, isn't it wonderful that we were made in the image of God? So much of Christianity turns away from the Jewish Jesus and becomes something very other. And I think that we as progressive men and women of faith must demand of ourselves more of what it means to discover the faith of Jesus in the depths of the Judaism that was his, rather than the much later history, the Greek, Roman, European mindsets that too often hate our human realities rather than love them. And then there's the growing awareness of this thing called panentheism, not pantheism, but in theism, which can be roughly translated that God is in all things. Often in Judaism and early Christianity, God was regulated to a few places, like the temple in Jerusalem, specifically in the temple in Jerusalem in the Holy of Holies, and then only approached by the priest. And this carried over to early Catholicism to the communion table, where only priests could do the rituals, wherein, with the ringing of the bell, all would know that God is now present in the elements. God is present in the elements in our communion table, but also in all the elements in the periodic table, and is in the space between all the elements, and in the new elemental agents that are created when elements combine. It is among, I think, the best of theological thoughts in the 21st century to acknowledge that all and everyone is holy. Is equally present God is in all things, even in those ugly things that we abhor. Nothing is ever separated from God. God is able to live. God can thrive. God does thrive in the midst of all the ugliness of life, and I think then God dreams of its redemption and healing and made whole. So why do we do this ritual of communion? Why the way we do it? In the passage from Mark's gospel about Jesus this morning, the same issues are raised. Cleanliness was so important in the Jewish understanding of life. Rituals were developed. When you bought food at the farmer's market in Bloomington in ancient Judah, you washed it and you washed your hands before you ate it. That's just good common sense. But the Jews do it religiously. In the ancient Qumran community of Jews, which gathered outside of Jerusalem at the same time of Jesus, they have discovered that the folks who came to the Qumran ritually bathed themselves as many as 7 times a day. And the baths were located so as you moved through the community place and space, you had to walk through the baths, the pools of water, just to get from here to there. Water baptism was a normative, oft-times daily ritual done in homes, places of business, and in places of the ancient worship of God. And doing the ritual, it wasn't magic, but it was a reminder that we are called to remember that we are one with God. And that the way we live our lives too often make us dirtier than we often care to notice. So the Jews, they built spiritual reminders. They created rituals, literally and otherwise, into the very fabric of their lives. One of my favorite mentors wrote a book entitled God and the World, as opposed, incidentally, to God in the World. God and us. It has never been otherwise. Jesus' world, Jesus himself, never knew God anything other than fully present, to be celebrated with, to grieve with, to laugh with, to argue with, to join together with, and to celebrate that all of life is one with God, and to know that God celebrates each of us and our lives. Rituals can be deadly meaningless, but if you dare cross one that someone finds value in, even if it's lost its efficacy for us, it can be considered a deadly protocol violation. Jesus and his followers, they poked fun at all sorts of religious rituals, and it just made some people mad, and others, it scared. And for he and his followers, it gave them an edge with the masses who were hunting to know God intimately in new ways. So they would walk through the farmer's market like we do on Saturday morning in Bloomington, and they would come up upon a group of grapes. They would eat one. That's not the way you're supposed to do it. course, we just think you got to pay for it first, right? But they were supposed to, and they were set up in the marketplaces. They had bowls of water where you would ceremoniously just wash your hands. You would dip your grape and then do it. Jesus was just poking at people. Next door at St. Charles, there is a bell that rings when the bread and the wine become the very presence of God. The elements are, for those in the Catholic tradition, more holy and more real than they were just moments before. For me, the bell has already tolled. And Jesus, in our tradition, called for all of us to be aware that all is already holy, all is already of God, period. No add-ons. Come to the table as a wonderful ritual in which each of us are priests who pass the presence of God to one another and is a community of those who dare believe that God is calling us to be God's instrument of peace and joy, reconciliation, justice, all the while embracing the joy of knowing God in all that we do with these marvelous bodies and the God-infused world of elements and creatures that you and I are called to shepherd, to be stewards, to care for, and then to pass on to next generations. It's a holy task, our lives, but we are not alone. That's why I believe we come back to the table, to be reminded by the centuries-old ritual that God is in all things, and we take God into ourselves by an act of our will, so that we might be reminded, so that we might more fully know ourselves to be instruments of God's dreams and aspirations for our lives. So prepare yourselves to be once again reminded that you are already one with God, and that you are a priest, a priest of all, who pass the presence of God to your neighbor who is in need of what you are giving.